It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, the beautiful studios of Freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Today we're going to share a little bit of history with y'all because we love you so much. We have a lot of stuff going on. I mean, they're green shoots. You know, let me tell you what green shoots you're seeing in the cracks of the driveways of all the foreclosed homes. That's the green shoots you're getting. Because I'm telling you, man, it is getting bad. We have Meredith Whitney. She's out there going, you know, let me tell you what's up. You know what's up? Let me tell you what's up. Foreclosure, that's what's up. Because this is going to get bad. And I just want to play a little short clip for you guys so that you understand just how bad this is. Now, you know, they talk all this economic, you know, computer, you know, geek speak. But what they're talking about is that the wave of foreclosures that are coming has not hit yet. And I say, oh, the other shoe hadn't dropped. And I keep saying, man, I give you a word picture. I'm going, look, we just had the first shoe taken off a stinky old foot and we're just smelling the sock. They ain't even dropped the first shoe yet. This has not even started to play out. You know, it's going to get bad, and Whitney helps us understand why.
You have had some bearish comments about the housing market recently.
It's on CNN Money.
That maybe we're in for another leg down. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts there. Do you think that we have not seen the bottom yet in terms of housing prices?
I have said and believe very strongly that we'll have a double dip in housing. So what that has will mean is that a lot of the assumptions involving all of the banks' asset values and reserving will have to be reset. So what I mean by the double dip is you can see a clear correlation of nothing under 100% of the loan modifications and halting foreclosures or significantly slowing foreclosures and the stabilization of home prices. So many people think that home prices, you know, have turned a corner. The fact is the amount of foreclosures that have yet to take place will present a very big challenge. So when you look at, you know, whatever you think stability is in terms of home prices, though a lot of the markets haven't been tested, so there's very little actual transaction volume going on. When you see what I expect to be a supply jam come to the market, you'll see how home prices take a significant leg lower.
Which will obviously
impact it's just the numbers. It's just the way the numbers look. I mean, non-accruals have more than doubled on bank balance sheets inside of a year. That non-accruals are people who haven't made a payment in over 120 days. That's just that those will move to foreclosures, I think, by inside of the summer, certainly.
Do you think fundamentally the business model in banking is going to change and we're going to see new kinds of companies sort of come to the fore, maybe in different aspects of the industry a little bit?
It already is. So a lot of the unintended consequences of the CARD Act, for example, are pushing consumers outside of the credit system. And so you will see entrants to serve that unbanked or underbanked community emerge all over the place. So I think you'll see a big growth engine in payday lenders and all the lenders that you really don't want to see in this type of environment. Payday lenders, check cashing, prepaid services. It's going to get a lot more expensive to be poor in this country, and that's a sad consequence of some of this regulatory change that's taken place.
It's going to be a lot more expensive to be poor in this country. Because it'll be better when you're on the top. You know, we fleecing. Yep. Now, this is what's going on. She said very little transaction volume. What the heck does that mean? It means this is what I've been telling this audience. My wife's a real estate agent out there going, putting all kinds of offers on different homes, being accepted by the bank. Yeah, you don't go, okay, let's go buy the home. And they never complete the transaction. Why? You know, my son and daughter-in-law, you know, having their second kid come in there, like, they're making offers, all kinds, just do it. Come on, let's rock and roll. Why are they not completing the transaction? Because we're in this fiscal year, they're going to wait until July to write this stuff down. If even then, they're waiting for some government program or something. So she's going, you know, there's little transaction. You have this volume building up. And what did she say? We're going to have a supply glut. You know, there's going to be all kinds of supply. We have more people in delinquency. She's going, by this summer, it's going to be another drop. You're going to have all kinds of alternative banking kind of stuff taken advantage of. People, I got to have some money. You know, this is, we are just starting. Just starting. I give you an example. The homes that are available now, they were probably, you can, you know, find a home in the valley here for less than $250,000, $300,000 for a little, you know, three-bedroom, one-bath kind of thing. So all of a sudden now, you can pick them up for $120,000. You get anybody to finish the transaction. Then they have homes this last summer. They were looking, you know, I have my first granddaughter. Oh, we got to have a house. Got to move out of, you know, our mother-in-law's. They're staying with her mother. You know, it's fine. You know, it's cool. Save the money. They're saving all kinds of money. Heck, I'll pay cash for it. You keep waiting. So what happens is they got good jobs they're doing, but she's going to be having a second child. You know, they're wanting to get in the house. So what's happening? They're out there, homes that they were looking at that are $200,000 now are, you know, last summer they were looking at for $120,000, $110,000, $100,000. Same houses now. They're going to another round. It's $85,000. They'll be going down to $60,000, $50,000. This is coming. So I tell them, don't buy that. Now's the time. Stay with family. You know, pitch a tent in the backyard. Do something. Just don't get caught into this, because they're going to, oh, we got a deal, $85,000 for a three-bedroom, two-bath in a place that we want, and now it's worth $60,000. This is what's coming. You know, Meredith Whitney, she was one of the experts out there. She doesn't see any money. She's there. She's on Bloomberg. She's screaming it 2 years ago. She's going, look, it's math. These banks are lying to you. Lying. And she worked for Daylight investment firm, whatever the heck, and she started her own because nobody was taking her seriously. And she, well, of course, until it happened, all of a sudden she's golden girl now. So what does she do? She comes out and says, as bad as I said it was before, well, here it comes again, for the same reasons. It's math. But what are they telling you? Green shoots. The weeds in the driveway of all these foreclosed vacant homes. At the peak of the real estate boom here in Arizona, you had all the homes that were for sale in the valley here. You know, my wife's a real estate agent. We were looking at all the numbers, seeing what's what. At the peak, 40% of the homes on the market were vacant. They're all speculative. People are just buying homes. Yeah, had that investment work out. Vacant homes, never a chance of recouping what they got, you know, look, because they were giving out money. You know, can you fog this mirror? Boom, here, sign here, you got money, buy a house. And you wonder why all this money is cheap, you know, low interest rates, you know, and some of them are subprime and ARMs and resetting, and all, big wave of that's coming right now through the summer. These are done. There is, it's math. So what's going to happen? You know, we're going to have all these tea parties and so on. They're trying to collectivize them into one little group, and they're going to be the Tea Party Express. Well, that's Dick Armey and RNC stuff, all right? Then you have another guy going, oh, no, they're not the Tea Party. I'm Tea Party. They're not I'm Tea Party. I'm Tea Party guy. Come to find out a guy doing that, he's sleeping with a staff member in RNC. I'm going, what? I'm like, hello? Are you starting to get it? So then you have Dr. Paul goes to the Southern Republican Leadership Conference, you know, and they had, we have on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix right now, you know, Reality Report. We're going to have on next week Gary Franchi from Restore the Republic. They did, well, we'll play a little bit of that later on in the show. You know, they're going, let me tell you what happened. We talked about it earlier in the week. I was in New Orleans. I was in Hattiesburg Mississippi this last weekend. The kids from the Campaign for Liberty and Young Americans for Liberty, all those guys, they came up the after party and they're going, Ernie, oh, let me tell you what happened. They tried to keep them out. Over 60, 70, 80 of these people. Finally, it got so ugly, they finally let them in right before Dr. Paul was speaking, like 2 minutes, because it was going to get ugly. They had already prepaid for tickets. Oh, sorry, registration one, you're late. Heck, we were here hours. They were out there 2.5 hours. They kept sending up, oh, you got to go up the third floor up there. No, it's down the second, down the first. They did everything they could to get them to pat. Oh, it's past 1 o'clock. I'm so sorry. You think these Ron Paul supporters haven't seen this coming before? They've seen it. There's a revolution coming. You know, what are we going to do about it? Well, Bob Schultz has Articles of Freedom that's going to be presented to all legislators and congressmen and stuff this Monday on the 19th. Yeah, Freedom Day. You know, here it comes. We got Ebeleho. He's in here. Went to the Continental Congress, and he was all over this thing. He's going to be leading this out on Monday. Oh, we're going to have us some fun. Hear all about it. You stay right there.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Fighting for here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and my special guest, Ed Vallejo. Ed Vallejo is the meetup coordinator and one of the head SOBs in charge, man. Yeah, boy, some people say that. You know, he's rocking and rolling and whatnot here in Arizona. He was the head guy at the meetup here, and the infamous, the famous, depends on your perspective and who you ask, of the Ron Paul Revolution here in Phoenix, Arizona. And, you know, Ed has been very active. He and I have been paying a lot of attention to a lot of stuff. And when Bob Schultz of We the People Foundation had the Jekyll Island meeting, I went to that and got an understanding of what was going on and so on. And my main advocacy for going was, you know, if you don't have a, you know, a none of the above option, then, you know, do I get none of the above? I just want to know, can I pick none of the above? No? Okay. Well, then I'm good. But Ed, you know, he's going to represent us. And Howard Blitz, you know, they went to near Chicago, and they had the Continental Congress. And a lot of the, I mean, from all over the country, you had hundreds of people there. And they're going to set it up. They're going to say, these are our concerns. Well, it became the Articles of Freedom. So now that's going to be presented to elected officials and state officials and federal officials and officials all over the country this coming Monday, April 19th. All right. Now, Ed is going to be there, you know, giving them what fur. Tell me what's going on, man.
Well, we're going to have a national dedication ceremony for the Articles of Freedom at the state capital of all 50 states. Plus, there'll be something going on in Washington, D.C. And we have selected officials that we definitely want to serve. There's so many of them to serve that we need as many people as we can to try and serve everybody. We'd really love to serve every elected official in the country. But at this point, we don't have the manpower to do that. So for right now, we're going to serve the state senator, the senators that we send to Washington, the leader of the state House, Senate, the state House of Representatives, the governor, and the...
Yeah, it was a congressman where the Capitol was.
Where the Capitol is.
Okay. Yeah. Because we have the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, you know, the governor, so we got kind of the state covered.
Right.
Then you got the U.S. senators, you get them covered.
Right.
And then wherever the Capitol happens to be, we'll get one of the members of Congress.
Right.
So that's a good sample, and I think that'll work. And it won't be like it's a secret or anything.
Oh, no.
Why Monday? Why April 19th? What's so significant about that day?
Well, being Patriots Day and...
Shot heard around the world.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is also they're having a big, you know, take your gun for a walk in the, you know, at the Capitol Mall day, too, because they just passed a lot of pro-gun legislation here, unrestricted concealed carry without a permit and so on. It's got some little problems in there. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, step forward, you know, unless an officer wants to see your gun. You know, that's a whole other issue. We'll get into that in the day. But what happens is that and legislation that allows Arizona to manufacture firearms here.
Yes.
I want my belt fed.
Yes,
well, as
sir.
Long as I keep it in Arizona for defending Arizona, I guess that might be okay.
Don't they make mini guns in Scottsdale?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Dillon, hey, yeah, you want to see the big Gatlin mowing down forest. That's here in Scottsdale.
I got a Woody.
You can't be saying nasty things on network here, man. Be a good boy. Now, what happens is that we have an opportunity on Monday to go to the Capitol, and we're going to take advantage of that. We had Alan Corwin on yesterday, and I remember him calling me, it was about a week or so ago, and he goes, how'd you guys do this? And we're always down there doing something. And I go, well, the way the rules work is that the president of the Senate is supposed to have control over this public venue, you know, this area, the Capitol grounds and so on. So what we'd always do is just send them an email. Or certified, depending on how funky we wanted to get. And we'd send them communication saying, as a courtesy, we're just going there to hang and just letting you know, FYI, what's up, and then we're going to be there, have a nice day. Because we're not permission askers on public property. That's just not going to happen. So they did the same thing. They said, okay, well, we're just going. Here we go. Well, then they had the leadership in the Senate contact. Oh, no. Well, of course we want to be involved, you know, so they're going to have, yeah, we'll get you a microphone and we'll do it. So they're like, yep, nobody's in charge. Whoever gets over on the microphone, go microphone. Yeah, have a nice day. And I know you got your own megaphone, so you don't need that. So you go out there and you do your thing. Well, it's also at the same time you'll be serving the Articles of Freedom. So a gun rights event along with Articles of Freedom, it's all good.
Oh, yes. I do believe the Second Amendment supporters that are going to be there armed for lunch, I believe that they will really appreciate Article 4 of the Articles of Freedom, where we lay it out in no uncertain terms that we want no registration, no taxation, no nothing to do with firearms. Infringe means infringe. Just get your hands off. Get your hands off.
So what are the other articles in there? How many are there?
There's 14. There's 14. And
how did these 14, did these get, you know, it seems like it was kind of, that was kind of my problem with, you know, the Continental Congress. They already pretty much had what they wanted to do, because these, in hearing Bob Schultz talk since then,
right,
that I didn't realize this, but what had happened is he has been doing this redress of grievance thing on a lot of things, you know, right, on taxes and gun, all kinds of stuff.
14 years, yeah.
So each one of these, he has come up, there's 14 of these redresses of grievance that they've done over the years, saying, look, man, you got to, and what's the result has been when they finally get it to Washington, we finally got them to agree, all right. You have the right to petition the government for redress. We just don't have to answer you.
Right. Yeah, we took it all the way up to the Second Circuit. The Supreme Court. Before the Supreme Court would hear it in total, it had to be reviewed by a 3-judge en banc panel. And the 3-judge en banc panel says, yeah, the First Amendment says you have a right to petition your government for a redress of grievances, but it doesn't say you have a right to have it heard, and it doesn't say you have a right to an answer. Come on! It's fighting words.
You know, this is I want to make sure that everybody understands. When they do this, Bob Schultz made a very good point that I didn't think about. He goes, you know, if we have a petition for redress, a right to that, well, to who? And if you're not answering it, then guess what? You ain't it.
Right.
You know, if you're not giving me a petition of redress and answer, I'm doing it, and you're not answering, well, I guess you ain't it.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm going, oh, that's good. I like that.
Find
I
out
like
who's
that.
It. Yeah.
You know, well, if it's nobody, then, you know, you don't have a government that's, you know, bound by the Constitution.
It?
Exactly.
Aha.
Ah, so we do this Articles of Freedom. You serve it. And what are they saying? You know, basically it comes down to, here's the Constitution, live by it.
Do your job.
And then what?
Well, let's see how far that goes first.
You know,
because we've been ignored. And I was against us serving them with anything else. I was under the impression we're done serving them. Now we're going to work on what the people can do. And that's what I thought the Continental Congress was going to be, was us getting together and coming up with actions the people can take to take their government back. And then Bob pulls one on and say, well, you know what? We got to this point. We're this big. We need one more time. Let's do it really big with a bunch of people this time. So that's what he wanted. He was shooting at 10% of about 13 million people. And
you know, I'm not really sure what is. See, that was my thing. I'm going, you know, I'm done, man. When they, you know, you have this contract and they violate the Bill of Rights every, you know, it's null and void as far as I'm good. You know, I don't got to get all uppity about it or anything. I understand you ain't it. You know, well, he's going to show it and they ain't it one more time. Yeah. They ain't. Yeah, I know. They yell at me for saying eight. I like it. But anyway, so I understand how this could be used. It's going, okay, we presented this. It's from the people. We had our own Continental Congress. We're going to get ignored just as we were when we did it to King George. So he's going to give the same kind of response as, you know, they're going to give this time. You know, they're just going to say, you know, we don't hear ye. You know, where's your battleship? We got F-16s, we win. You know, I understand the mentality. As long as it gets exposed, we're all served. So, we need to do, and a lot of it also has an impact on, you know, a candid world. Because that's what the Declaration of Independence said. You know, for what we owe to the world is an explanation of why we're doing this.
Right.
So here it is. Things have shot heard around the world, Dave, just as good as day as any to do this. Well, here it comes. We'll talk more about it when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Oh, when the man comes around, well, who's the man? You know, is it now going to be, you know, the government man? Or is it going to be the man with Articles of Freedom? You know, there's a golden ladder reaching down. Well, you know, I we've had so much happen. We're getting towards the end of the legislative session. And yesterday they did pass the immigration bill that had all this national ID stuff in there. And they go, Ernie doesn't know what he's talking about. There's no national ID. You know, well, yeah, okay, so we're sharing, you know, the information of anybody that got a concealed permit, but there's no national ID. Okay, well, we're giving everybody, you know, giving the federal government the list of all the people that got a hunting and a fishing license, but that's not a national ID. Oh, okay. So we're giving them the Department of Motor Vehicle records, everybody, you know, but there's no national ID. I'm like, how do you make this determination? How do you even rationalize that? This is what they say. They go, well, the officer's not required to check you. Therefore, it is not a national ID. So I'm going, wow, man, okay. But, you know, we accomplished what we wanted to. We put it off for weeks, made a big stinking deal out of it, got a lot of press. We pushed back hard. We made sure that legislators understood what was going on, and they're afraid. There go this in an election year right before not being seen as supportive of immigration control will get us unelected. That's our concern. And, you know, so they couch this whole thing in immigration. There's not an immigration problem anymore. They went back to Mexico. There's no building. There's no construction. You know, you don't even see Hispanic around anymore. You know, they left. They said, you know, toodles me boodles, we were sending a bunch of that money home anyway. We're all good. But then we got problems in Mexico. There's going to, you know, they got all kinds of this drug war stuff going up. They're going to have to decriminalize drugs. They're freaking, you know. And so to try and take care of this somehow, I'm not even sure what their reasoning is. But Mexico, 24 million mobile phones to be cut off tomorrow in a crackdown. 24 million cell phones. Mexico is bracing itself for communications chaos tomorrow with some 24 million mobile phone lines due to be disconnected as part of a government crackdown on organized crime. Hey, but they'd never do that here. Like with that internet or something. You know, like what Britain's doing right now. They're going to be able to control what you can't read. Already, you know, people that subscribe to things like Prison Planet or Alex Jones InfoWars, they're cutting that off in New Zealand. You know, people going, hey, man, what up? I can't get to you anymore. I mean, it's already started. In Articles of Freedom, is there something in there about First Amendment, free speech kind of thing?
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff in there about free speech, but I don't remember if there's anything about controlling the Internet.
Well, you know, I mean, that's just free speech as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. But so this, as you can see, there are things happening. And right, we haven't even gotten the 2010 election cycle yet. We haven't even done that, and they're already talking about 2012. In 2012 presidential election matchup, Barack Obama, 42%, Ron Paul, 41%. Already. You know what I mean? So, you know, Pitt, maverick Republican congressman Ron Paul against President Obama in a hypothetical 2012 election matchup, and the race is virtually dead even. A new Rasmussen Reports national telephone survey of likely voters finds Obama with 42, Ron Paul at 41.
And who's saying this?
Rasmussen. Well, you know, whatever. You know, I don't even know who did the poll, but Rasmussen's a respected pollster. But, you know, and it'll change. You know, Gallup will come out tomorrow. He's only got nothing. I mean, you know, it just keeps changing. And one of the things that we had on the site today, if you go down and you'll see reports from this last weekend's, was it Southern Republican Leadership Conference? And it was a report from the inside from Restore the Republic, Gary Franchi. Gary Franchi, I know well, we had a long talk today. He and I were co-MCs of the Revolution March in Washington, D.C. And we got, it's called Video of Ron Paul Supporters Getting Harassed at the SRLC. Was there an attempt to exclude 70 Ron Paul supporters from the Southern Republican Leadership Conference? We'll show you the hidden camera footage, what is being delivered to the state houses right now. So this is, they're going, look, we want everybody to know what's going on. How do we do this? What do I keep telling you? You think these young guys here don't have their 15 gazillion iPhones on everybody taking video and audio as they're doing it? This is, and where is the credibility? You know, how are these young people going to be watching, you know, CNN and Fox for this? Heck no. They listen to shows like this. They listen to shows like Free Talk Live. They listen to the shows, you know, and podcasts and video and everything like RestoreTheRepublic.com. You know, you got, you know, Liberty News Radio here having, you know, guys on there just trying to, you know, share the truth with y'all because guess what?
Nobody else is doing it.
Yeah. I mean, where are you? We've been living this. You know, Ed and I have been working together on this revolution for, that's what, over a couple of years.
A decade now.
Yeah, it seems like a week, seems like a decade. You know, we are constantly busy.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like you went to Searchlight. You know, I couldn't go to Searchlight. I was in Pennsylvania and Tennessee. And my wife and Ed and a bunch of other people from Nevada and Arizona went to Searchlight there between Laughlin, Nevada, and Las Vegas. And it was just an ocean of RVs and people that needed some DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
And some signs. And, you know, did they know you were there?
Yeah, they knew I was there, that's for sure.
You know, so,
Wayne Allen Root knew I was there, too.
Yeah, that's a whole nother issue. You know, see, the main thing that's happening is we can see the infiltration even into the Libertarian Party, and I can see what, oh, I tell you this. Okay, you guys get the inside scoop. Let me tell you how this works. There's a genesis to a lot of the activities that we do. You know, and it starts, and I'll tell you how this came about. Paul Craig Roberts was in the Reagan administration, and he was one of the editors at Wall Street Journal. He's, you know, and he saw these lying us into war and so on. He's a well-respected journalist, and he just went hog wild. He's saying, you know, pointing out everything, thinking that the lamestream media, the media sue last century, would pick up on these facts, stipulated facts, and actually say, yeah, well, this is kind of messed up. Heck no. I mean, he's printed things like Counterpunch and Raw Story and Lou Rockwell. And of course, we put him on Freedom's Phoenix. But he's, you know, I'm sure he's grateful. But, you know, he's like, where's the lamestream media? What the heck is going on? So a couple of weeks ago, he just said, you know, I'm done. I'm tired, man. I'm 70 whatever years old. I'm chilling. You know, I'm taking a break. I'm in Florida. I'm going to enjoy what's left. Y'all, you know, I did my bit. Don't blame me. So Charles Goyette is, we've had him on the show when I produced for Charles a lot. And I asked Charles, I said, you know, give him a call. See if he'll come to Arizona. You know, we'll give him a chance to say what's what. And we'll do like a mini freedom summit. You know, we'll have a little anti-war freedom summit thing. We'll do something. And Paul told him, he said, you know, I don't fly. Since they do all this anal probe thing, man, I ain't playing. You just know. Aaron Zellman from Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership, JPFO, same thing. Our, I think it was our second Freedom Summit that we had. He was going to be one of the speakers, and he just said, you know, Ernie, I'm not doing it. And it's too far to drive, and I'm not playing. I'm not going to go through there. Metal detector, you know, take off your shoes, massage me thing.
Last time I went through LAX, they swabbed inside of my wallet and all kinds of things and put them in a machine to test for bomb components.
Well, of course, because you got a beard, man. You got dark skin there too, boy. You know, and long hair. Well, what happened is you look at these guys of Jewish ancestry like Aaron Zellman from JPFO, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. Right. You know, here, I mean, they're hardcore guys. They're like NRA or even GOA. These guys are hardcore. They're like, oh, heck no. Why? You know, because they have a history. We know what happens. You know, they have members, you know, little tattoos on their arms.
Still numbers tattooed on them.
You know, they're going, no, 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 no. We went through this before. Yeah. You want to know how you get into a police state and this Nazi thing? Well, this is it. They're going, we remember this. You know, this is how we got to that point. You know, people just put up with it. They go, we're not playing. Okay, okay. So Paul Craig Roberts, not going to be part of it. But I'm thinking, I'm going, you know, it'd be a good time to have a big, nice anti-war teach-in or something, you know, some of the big names. So I call Angela Keaton from antiwar.com. Okay. Scott Horton has a radio show out of antiwar.com. And these guys have been around since Bosnia. You know, I remember they were the first people. I was poor, too. I gave them a $5 a month donation off my credit card. You know, I'm like, you know, okay, I got one credit card. I can do $5 a month for them. So, and it's just because somebody's doing the anti-war thing. I mean, whether you think it's a good war or not, somebody needs to be saying, you know, like, war is bad. Somebody. Can we have somebody? Well, Angela and I and Charles and Adam Kokesh, some other, we're gonna do it up. I think it's going to be like the first weekend in June. We're working on it. And we'll get some real information. We'll get it on record. Because how's that peace thing going with Obama? Yeah, that's what I thought.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, yeah, sorry, we're overlapping music there. Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and Ed Vallejo. We are talking about the news of the day. And I'm telling you, we are... you know, it's the end is nigh. And I don't know what does nigh mean. I guess now. the end is soon. Because, I mean, what do you look for? I mean, let me give you just some of the news, okay? We have 30,000 more troops going into Afghanistan. What happens? The U.S. troops are pulling out of Afghanistan's perilous Korangal Valley as part of a new focus on protecting population centers. NATO said Wednesday, when NATO is with NATO now, ending a mission that saw some of the most intense fighting of the nearly 9-year American presence in the country. I mean, we're longer than Vietnam now. So the isolated mountainous region of caves and canyons on the eastern border with Pakistan has been the scene of near daily exchanges of fire between NATO and insurgents who use it as a route for infiltrating weapons and fighters in Afghanistan, blah, 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 blah. And what are they going to do? U.S. troops tested the new approach following a major offensive in February in the Mara region of Helmand province, with mixed results so far because of lingering Taliban influence. Lingering Taliban influence. Lingering, lingering, lingering. So we're going to take NATO forces and pull them out. a little bit too much lingering Taliban stuff going on. So I'm going, wow, what are they doing? You know, the strategic shift coincides with the deployment of an additional 30,000 troops to Afghanistan, most on missions to drive the Taliban from populated areas and provide enough security to allow local governments to consolidate control and bring about economic recovery. These wars aren't meant to be won. They're meant to be fought. This will go on and on and on. Empires go to Afghanistan to die. That's what always happens. I just want to make sure that we all understand that we're not going to win, whatever the heck that is, unless you, I don't know, I guess you have to kill everybody. Yeah, but every time a Hellfire missile goes into a wedding, ooh, we got the terrorists. You just created how many? You know, this is, how hard is it for a 13-year-old to be convinced to strap on and go into a crowded whatever and push the button when he saw his whole family splattered up against the walls? You know, this is, it's almost as if it was on purpose. And wow. But what do? Well, we shouldn't just leave. We can't just leave. We just need bigger trucks. So they come up with these IED resistive trucks with, you know, concave or V-shaped bottoms so the blast is directed away, more armor and all this kind of, you know. So I'm going, that's your solution? Seriously? So I can see where you have a people, the American people, just we're just tired. So they got enough energy to go and do things like present the Articles of Freedom on Patriot Day. You know, it's Patriot Day. They go down to the state capitol. They are already having a firearm freedom kind of oriented thing going on. There's legislators, oh, yeah, we want to wrap arms and legs around that. Well, we're freedom guys. Yeehaw! And then at the same time, there's certain, while these legislators are out on the lawn there, got a copy for you. Yep. And your name will check you off the list. Right here, affidavit, I said you got it. Okay? So you hand these out, and I you've read it, I imagine.
Oh, I've proofread it several times, yeah.
So I'm going, okay, so you read it. Is it in clear language? Is it like...
It's in plain language for everybody to understand what the violations of the Constitution are.
And, so it focuses on the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights. This is your oath that you take.
The supreme law of the land that we're all supposed to be following, yeah.
You know, the one other thing that's very interesting is Arizona's state constitution is really good. I mean, it was one of the last states. It was the 48th state.
Right.
So we had 130 whatever years of example from all the others. We said, you know, we got it going on. We'll get something good here. Right. And they did. They did a really good job. If you read the Arizona State Constitution, Article 2 is a Declaration of Rights. I mean, there's like 30-something of them. And the first one is, you know, the purpose of government is to defend individual rights.
Right.
And you get down to like 32, and it says, oh, in case you forgot, go see number one.
Right.
You know? And then it addresses all of these issues. But it's always fear. You know, they'll say, well, yeah, but what? Well, but we got, terrorists want to kill us. You know, there's immigrants being here. There's all this other stuff, and we're going to violate a bunch of these declarations of rights in order to protect you from this fear that we created. You know, I don't have a terrorist or an immigrant or something up here taking my rights from me, taking my property, increasing my taxes, putting me in national databases, checking my city. I'm on checkpoints on the freeway. They're not doing it. Cameras everywhere. And this is not photo cameras. These aren't photo radar. These are continuous video surveillance.
Right.
You know, they don't tell you that. I mean, they don't deny it, but they don't. It's not on their advertising brochure, except maybe to the government.
When I saw a two-car accident in Mesa on television, and they showed the video of it, they said, oh, this was from the red light, video from the red light cameras. It's like, you got video from a camera? Pretty good.
Yeah, no, they got, you know, they call it person of interest. It's a program. You know, if Janet Napolitano wants to check you out where you were, well, you know, here we go. You know, that's all they got to do. They just got to, you know, say, here's the name. And what happens? Well, they search the database that has your name associated with car registration, which has a license plate. These video surveillance, they read your license plate. And then they just go, okay, every time you pass a camera, this is when and where this car was.
ALPR.
You know,
automatic license plate recognition system.
You know, and then we were covering this years ago on Freedom's Phoenix when they were actually traveling around with inside of squad cars going through parking lots just reading license
right.
plates. And they go, and in Chicago, the laws aren't the same. They tried to change it here. You know, 4409 did a video. I think it's on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix today. I was watching it this morning. And it was a video of them. He was talking about how they're using these bills to do surveillance, give you tickets, and then increase the fine to pay off-duty officers to serve you.
Yeah.
You know, oh, it's even better.
Yeah.
And they get to wear a uniform and have their gun. You know, will they have a squad car as they're serving a bill from Redflex, an Australian company? So who benefits from this? The cops, man, they're making extra change. Ka-ching! They go around serving these as part of the, you know, they're all the king's men. This is sick.
Swarms of officers to eat out our substance, I do believe, is the proper phrase.
Senior swarms of agents to eat out our substance. Absolutely. I see where this is going. What are you prepping? I mean, you've been doing this freedom thing for a long time, Ed. I mean, how are you? And just as probably no secret, I mean, you walk around armed all the time.
Yes, sir.
You know, you got a firearm on. You're out there, you know, being a freedom, peaceful kind of, you know, love illusion guy. But I mean, where do you think this is going? How far are we gonna, you know, let this go? I don't know.
Education is for the individual. That is the crux of it all. That's the most important thing out of everything, is for the individual to become empowered with the information that they need. Okay? And I'll tell you what, any sane individual that sits down and reads the 60 pages of the Articles of Freedom, if they get up and they're happy with the way things are, they don't know what the hell's going on. They don't. Either that or they're getting money off of it one way or another.
Well, they are. I mean, a lot of these guys, I see you go down to the Arizona legislature, especially at the beginning of legislative session, and they'll have like little street fairs. You know what I mean? It's like a parking swap. They got tables and awnings and everything, all their lobbying kind of whatever, and they're showing off their, you know, Border Patrol surveillance equipment, law enforcement thing, whatever. And it's sales. You know, they're there, you know, ain't this cool. We need to get this got passed a law. Oh, by the way, need some campaign contributions. Stop by here. Sign up right here. Your support. We'll be contacting you. I mean, this is how it's done.
And as you leave the area, one of us hands you a couple of DVDs.
Right. You know, this is I'm wow. I am very concerned, because there are a lot of people that take this seriously, really understand the truth, while at the same time they have legislators that publicly and in the press, and they'll just sling it. They'll BS it, and then what? I mean, you just let them go, let them say it, let them do it. I don't know where this goes. I know that we need to, like you're saying, you know, be educated, be informed. You know, have hopefully not allow them to lie to us. But did Bob Schultz have anything to say about what happens later? I mean, does he expect, oh, God, at least you did that. Articles of Freedom, I mean, I don't know, if you'd done this 10 years ago, we've been all over it. You want your freedom back? All you had to do is say so. You know what I mean? What's he thinking is going to happen?
Hopefully the people are going to take notice and do something.
Hey. I'm hoping to.
You and I both.
And I don't know what else to do other than to, you know, advocate that it be done. I'm hopeful, but more hopeful than I am about anything else is about as many people as possible I can help free.
Amen.
Between their ears, because if you don't start there, you know, none of the other stuff's going to matter.
Nope.
None of the other stuff's going to happen. None of the other stuff is going to be of any import. So. You stay tuned. You know, next hour, we got all kinds of other goodies going on about the state of the way things are. But you need to prepare. Because if you're not, I mean, you're just going to be, I don't know, roadkill. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, just a little bit.